Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. And on this episode of the podcast, we are going to dive into some Giants memories and also talk about the current 2022 San Francisco Giants with former World Series champion and current analyst at NBC Sports Bay Area for the San Francisco Giants, George Contos. We're going to do all of that. We're going to talk some Giants ball. We're going to talk some history. We're going to talk some Buster Posey. We're going to talk about the catcher position for the San Francisco Giants. All that coming up next with George Contos. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, and my next guest needs no introduction. A World Series champion in his own right for the San Francisco Giants. You can see him on the Giants pre- and post-game shows on NBC Sports Bay Area. George Contos, and first off, man, congratulations on another ring. You got married over the weekend. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Saturday was a fun day. We had a great party, got married, made some great memories, and had a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And by the way, I found out on accident because my girlfriend, actually, she follows you on social media, and I was talking to her about having you on to the podcast, and she told me that you got married, and I guess Hunter Pence was there as well, and he posted something on his social media, and I felt extremely bad afterwards because I was shooting you a text trying to get a time for you to come onto the podcast. So my apologies for that.
Oh, no, my pleasure. It was all good. Yeah, Hunter Pence was there. Nate Shearholz and his nice. Wife Kate came. Josh Osich and his wife came. So we had some former Giants in attendance, and we all had a blast. Everyone was doing some singing and dancing, some karaoke. It was a whole bunch of fun. It's always a good time when we all get together.
Oh, karaoke, man. That's right up my alley. You say karaoke, I'm there. that is my scene for sure. So, George, appreciate it. Congratulations on getting married, and thank you for coming on to the podcast. First time for you to be on my podcast. I know we spoke before with me working at KNBR, but appreciate you taking the time, man. Before we get into any Giants talk, I need some tips because I'm going to go to Chicago. I know you're a Chicago native. And I'm not sure how much of a Bears fan you are, but I went to the Bears 49ers game last year, and that was my first dose of Chicago on Halloween weekend. Couldn't have picked a better weekend to go to Chicago, I might say so myself. But ate some deep dish at Pequod's. I went to Portillo's. I know that's a big thing out there in Chicago. A lot of bars downtown and in Logan Square. Just absolutely fell in love with the city. I think it's right up there with New York as a city that I love to visit. So this year, the NFL released a schedule, and we have ourselves a San Francisco takeover in Chicago in September. Not only do the Bears and 49ers play at Soldier Field in Chicago, but we got the Giants and the Cubs facing off at Wrigley Field, which is a bucket list item for me to go to Wrigley. My question to you, does Wrigley live up to that hype, George?
You know, it does. Wrigley's a very special place, and I don't want to say that it ever gets old because it never, ever does, especially for me coming in here as a visiting player to play against the Cubs. I always felt like I had a little bit extra on my stuff all the times that I pitched at Wrigley. And it was usually because I had my entire family, very close friends of mine who I've grown up with, teachers, neighbors, a lot of people were always in the stands in attendance. But, you know, I've seen, when I say over 100 games at Wrigley Field throughout the course of my life, I feel like that's probably not an understatement. I mean, I was at the game that Kerry Wood punched out 20 in 98. I was also at the game that's where Sosa hit 61 and 62. So I've seen a ton of games at Wrigley, and it is a spectacular place. Very, very cool and old school. And when you walk through those tunnels from the visiting clubhouse all the way down to the visiting dugout, you just kind of walk through and you think, A, how many legends walk through these same hallways that I have, and B, how have they not updated this place yet?
Right. Yeah, Wrigley Field, man. It's one of those ballparks. It's one of those old school ballparks that are still around. There's not a lot of them out there anymore. I mean, you have Dodger Stadium. You have obviously Fenway. Have you ever played in Fenway? I mean, those are one of those the meccas, right? The big ballparks that everyone that watched games growing up as a kid, you dream of playing in those stadiums. You ever play at Fenway?
Yeah, I played at Fenway twice. Once as a member of the Giants going to play the White Sox, or the Red Sox, excuse me. And the other time that I played in Fenway was when I was in the Cape Cod Summer League back in college. So way back in 2005, I played there. But when I pitched at Fenway in a real major league game, I came in and I faced, I think the first guy I faced was either Xander Bogaerts or Mookie Betts in 16. When we played there, and when I got called into the game, I replaced Javier Lopez. And when Boch handed me the ball, you just kind of take a second to look around in your surroundings, and you realize that you're standing on the mound at Fenway Park. And for me, being my first time doing it in a live action game, you know, I've done it so many times at Wrigley, but doing it the first time at Fenway was very, very special as well. Got to sign the Green Monster on the inside of the scoreboard. Went through the whole shindig and shebang over there, and Fenway is an unbelievable place. Very, very special.
Yeah, that must be really special for sure. And being that you have Wrigley right in your backyard, man, one of the iconic ballparks in Major League Baseball. We're talking to the ambassador and tour guide of the city of Chicago, George Contos. Now, let's get into some Giants baseball here. We just had Buster Posey Day on the last homestand, and the appreciation for Buster Posey from the fans, from former teammates, was just unreal. Do you have any stories that you'd like to share about Buster Posey, maybe when he helped you out of a jam, or any wise words that he passed along to you on those historic mound visits?
You know, I was talking about this because I was covering those games for NBC Sports. I was actually unable to attend the pregame ceremony because I was in studio covering the pregame and covering the ceremony. But I got to go over there during the game and see the guys and see Buster, chat with them a little bit, and be a part of the festivities, which were fantastic and very, very deserving for a guy who has meant so much to the organization and the city and the community. Thinking about some lines that he said to me, gosh, all I can think about are his little playful jabs behind the scenes that nobody ever really got to think of or got to witness. You know, everyone always asks me, like, what's Buster actually like? And it's very funny because whenever you would watch those, like, insurance commercials or those Toyota commercials where he was doing the acting, that was actually a lot like what his real personality is like behind the scenes and in everyday life. He's a very playful guy. He's got some good snarky little jabs and jokes and playfulness to him. But in between the white lines, the guy was all business, as we've all seen for so long. I made 300 appearances as a Giant, and I think he probably caught at least 200 of them. So he's just one of those guys that he's, you know, a specific story of encouragement or whatnot. Those are evading me, but I do have some little playful ones that have happened. One time I was on the mound in Arizona, and he came to the mound and looked at me through his helmet. And you're usually supposed to, like, say something, this and that. But Boch from the dugout had given him, like, the, hey, go talk to the pitcher signal while somebody was warming up. So he came up to the mound, looked at me for about 20 seconds, and then didn't say anything and turned around and walked right back to home plate. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what was that about? Which was actually very funny. I think it threw me so off guard that I got the next guy to ground into a double play to end the inning, and we got out of it. So there was no pitching change that was needed, thankfully. And then there was another time what happened? He came out, and we were in Cincinnati, and he came out, and he goes, when I put the fingers down, you throw what I call. And I was like, just go back there and put the slider down and we'll get out of this inning, no problem. And he went back down. That we were kind of getting our butts kicked a little bit that day. So tempers were flying a little bit. And he's a very competitive guy. He wants to win at all costs. And that was evident throughout his career and how he conducted himself. But he always brought out the best in you. He was a guy who was always thinking, regardless of who was on the mound, he was always thinking along every pitch, every at bat, what had happened prior, in prior at bats throughout the game. So he's a he's one of those guys that is all in and committed to every pitch from the first pitch of the game to the last out of the ninth inning. And that's, I think, what has made him so great throughout his 12-year career.
Yeah, and the relationship between pitcher and catcher, I think, is just so huge, so unique in that dynamic. Because you can't have a successful team if that relationship isn't cohesive. Like if you're not on the same page with your catcher and you're butting heads all the time, it could cause some issues. But I hate to compare the two, and I'm bringing it into today's Giants. Hate to compare the two, but especially early in his career. But Joey Bart, he seems to have some type of Buster-like traits in that he seems to have unshakable confidence. I mean, that's something that Buster, when he first came up in 2009, 2010, at the beginning of his career, he just had this confidence about him that, it looked unshakable. And it's kind of what you see with Joey Bart right now and himself. And he has a confidence with the pitching staff. I mean, they're confident in throwing to him, and he's confident in calling an effective game. Are you seeing kind of the same way of Joey Bart and his progression as the major league catcher for the Giants? And how important is that for Joey Bart and this staff at this point in his career?
I think it would be unfair to Joey Bart to make a comparison to a guy like Buster Posey. I mean, when you think about all the accolades and what Buster has done and what he's meant to the city and how there's not three world championships without Buster Posey at the helm of it. I think there's been, a little bit of a, I don't want to say disservice, but a lot of pressure put on Joey Bart being drafted as high as he was and being expected to come in and step in as the next Buster Posey, so to speak, when all he's got to do is just be Joey Bart, And I think that he took his lumps and he learned kind of a valuable lesson in the game and how that happens when he came up and got his initial cup of coffee. And I think it's fair to say that, he didn't quite have his first taste of the major leagues go as well as he would have wanted it to go. But, he's definitely made some really, really good improvements. I do think that he kind of has learned that he should not try to compare himself to Buster Posey and that he's Joey Bart and he should do what Joey Bart is capable of and not put the expectations on himself to be the next Buster Posey. And I think that you've seen him grow in that regard. As far as like the ability to catch, I think he's definitely made big strides in that. I think Johnny Cueto is what comes to mind initially when you saw a little bit of not being on the same page when he made his debut a couple of years ago and went through that whole thing where he was getting a little bit of kind of bad press more so than anything from people talking about just not, the guys not being on the same page. But when you hear all of the pitchers on today's staff raving about how good of a job he's done, it's really a kudos to the work he's put in and the effort he's put in to trying to better himself and to be more of a strike getter and being on the same page with the hitters and doing his homework and all of that stuff that it takes to be a very, very good Major League Baseball player. And I think the fact that he does have that good confidence now, I mean, he's kind of struggled a little bit in the middle there. He's put some better swings on things lately, but he kind of was struggling for a little bit and he was able to get through it. He didn't get down on himself. He still go out there and try to put quality at bats together. But to make the Buster Posey comparison, I think it's just unfair to kind of, everybody, Buster Posey, the guy who's going to the Hall of Fame. And you're talking about Joey Bart, who's a guy who's got, a year of service time. It's just kind of unfair to Joey in what the expectations should be. But I think that he definitely has the ability to go out and be a very, very good and long-term major league catcher. And I think that if he can just hone in on, swinging at good pitches and not getting antsy at the plate to try and create too much offense for himself, I think he would do himself a huge service in just taking what the pitcher has to offer and putting good swings on the ball to all fields with the good power that he has to all fields.
Yeah, and he went yard yesterday in St. Louis off of Albert Pujols. That was a pretty funny moment in the game yesterday, which was hilarious. And hopefully, you know, that gets Joey Bart going, because he does have a really good, effective bat. It's just a matter of putting it all together. So on the other catcher side, Kirk Casale, he went yard multiple times in Colorado. Mustache May is in full effect. But we're talking with George Contos. A few more minutes with our guest, George Contos, former San Francisco Giants pitcher, World Series champion, George Contos. Now, the not-so-funny part of the game yesterday was Carlos Rodon. He allowed the most runs in an outing in his career. Was that just a fluke performance, or was there anything that you noticed with Rodon's outing that could be cause for concern?
Well, you know, I think that Mike Kruko has said it best, and I've heard him say this so many times. You have roughly 30 starts in a major league season when you're a starting pitcher, and you're going to have 10 of those starts where you just have your best electric stuff. You're going to have another probably third of those where you don't have very good stuff, and you kind of just roll with the punches that day. Then you have the 10 starts in the middle where you kind of are just fighting your way, grinding your way through the start, where you kind of try and go 5, 6, 7 innings and give up 2, 3, maybe 4 runs. And you have kind of the middle of the pack starts. And I think that one of those, the outing that you saw from Carlos Rodon yesterday, was just one of those ones that you can just chalk up to, hey, you know what? I didn't have my best stuff that day, because these guys aren't human. And you know, we've seen it out of Logan Webb, who started this year off on such a hot streak, to continue what he was doing the second half of last year and into the postseason. And, you know, the confidence and the ability to have that success every fifth day as a starting pitcher, it's very finicky and fickle. And it is a very sensitive feeling and mental state of mind when you touch the mound and throw the rubber and you just got it. And when you can go out there and do that over and over again, like a Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw when he was in his prime, when those guys can do that, you're just pitching with, like, almost an out-of-body confidence where you just know what you're doing. And it's really a mindset. And there are things that can kind of tweak that a little bit, and you can lose that feeling. And I don't think that's what's happened with Carlos Rodon. But, you know, I think we can chalk up yesterday to just, you know, him not having his best stuff. It was one of those outings. And, you know, he went 3 2/3, gave up 10 hits, which is very uncharacteristic for him with the stuff that he has. The strikeout numbers were down, only walked one guy, but, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals are a potent offense, and he walked in there and they were hot, and they just put a hurting on him. And you just kind of tip your cap to the offense, show up to the ballpark today, play your light catch, get ready for the bullpen tomorrow, and really, really look forward to your next start in 5 days.
Yeah, that's the thing with pitching and with just playing baseball. As you know, like, if you have a bad outing, you just have to turn the page. And it's not easy as human beings. You know, you could dwell on it, but it's something that a trait that baseball players have to have that I think is very underrated. So the fact that you're speaking to that a little bit kind of, you know, tells you the mindset of a ball player. Now, we're talking about the pitchers because that is such a strength of the San Francisco Giants, as it's always been. I mean, that's kind of been their trademark since they started winning World Series championships. And last year they had fantastic pitching. They rode it pretty much to 107 wins with the pitching staff last year. And this year they have a really good pitching staff. They're in Colorado, we know, as we speak. And Colorado, it just doesn't make sense. Baseball doesn't make sense when you go into Colorado. You have a lot of WTF moments at Coors Field, as many pitchers do. But, you know, they have a huge homestand coming up with the Padres and the Mets. Well, how do you think that the Giants stack up against these two teams that also, in their own right, have really good starting pitching?
I think the Giants can stack up with any team in Major League Baseball. I mean, they just won their 21st game of the season in Colorado, 7-6 right now, and that place is like playing on the moon. So anytime you win a close ball game and you win in Colorado, you're walking out of there with an ear-to-ear smile. But, you know, these guys are 21-14 now. They are pitching. Their pitching has been a little bit less stellar than it started out with. But to your point, pitching is what's going to drive this team. Pitching, both starting and relieving, good defense is the heart and soul of this team. And then timely hitting. Obviously, we're not seeing the same kind of home runs we were seeing last year, where the Giants really have never been a team outside of the Bonds era that was driving the ball out of the ballpark with that much consistency. I think last year was a little bit of an anomaly year, and as fantastic as it was, I don't think that you can just count on that type of home run production every year. But this team is as good as any team. I mean, the NL West this year is going to be the best division in baseball, I think, with the teams that they have that are playing really well. And I think when you have the Padres and the Mets coming in town, everyone's looking forward to a great showdown, as it should be. I mean, great pitching staffs, good offenses. I mean, both of those teams are expected to do big things, as are the Giants. And I know that they were expected and predicted to finish third in the NL West. But I think that as it is kind of every year, it seems like they've been a little bit underrated. And I think that's one of those kind of bulletin board materials where they're looking to prove people wrong. And this homestand should be definitely indicative of that type of mentality.
A lot of good, gritty baseball coming on this next homestand when they take on the Padres and the Mets. The pitching is going to be phenomenal. You know we're going to be in store for a good treat this homestand. George Contos, everybody. George, just want to thank you for coming on to the podcast. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, and again, that was George Contos, former World Series champion for your San Francisco Giants. What a great conversation that was. And again, I want to thank George for coming on, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. If you like that, you're going to love what we have planned coming up. As you know, we go around the game of baseball to talk to beat writers, to talk to broadcasters, talk to former players, talk to current players. We're going to do all of that in the months to come in this 2022 season. So again, hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and give a review and share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Let them know that this is the podcast you got to listen to weekly. So you guys have a good one. Be safe and talk to you next time.